you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to episode number 112 of the Mind Body Peak Performance with your host, Nick Urban. Today, we're exploring a topic and a fascination of mine that is called exogenous ketones. And many experts are calling ketones a fourth fuel for the brain, aside from the primary macronutrients of protein, of fats, and carbohydrates. Ketones have other use cases and benefits. They naturally increase when we fast, but then we can also use products such as ketone esters, ketone salts, or 1,3-butanediol to get some of these benefits without fasting or following a strict ketogenic diet. Joining us today is CEO and the founder of HVMN Health via Modern Nutrition, Michael Brandt. Michael is the co-founder and CEO of HVMN. He's an avid triathlete, and he knows a thing or two about ketones. I first came across HVMN around 2017 when they released their very first ketone ester product, but it was extremely expensive, it tasted awful, and it was just out of reach for all but the highest level, most competitive athletes. They've made some big strides recently and launched a new product in 2022 that is the focus of this conversation and the research around ketones and how they can improve your metabolism, which in essence is the system that helps your body convert the things you consume into cellular biological energy. The show notes to this episode will be at mindbodypeak.com/112. And if you'd like to try Ketone IQ, their product for yourself, the code URBAN, U-R-B-A-N, will save you 10% on your order. Or you can take advantage of the special deal that Michael mentions in the show. And if you find one in a local store near you, the first shot is on them. That's right, completely risk-free. And if you want more around exogenous ketone products and the science, the benefits, all that stuff, I did record an episode a while back. I believe it was number 43 with a man named Frank Yosa of Heart Ketones. You can give that one a listen too. All right, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Michael Brandt of HVMN. Michael, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Nick, so good to be here. It's going to be a fun conversation today.
Yeah. So I didn't tell you this offline when we were talking a minute ago, but I actually took a half serving of your Ketone IQ product about an hour ago. And 30 minutes in, I went to have lunch and I actually wasn't hungry. So that was the first effect I noticed from it. And I'm excited to dive into the world of exogenous ketone products today with you. But before we get started, tell me and our listeners something unusual or interesting about ketones.
One stat that I love around ketones is that they are one of the oldest forms of fuel. So our body has been making and using ketones for at least 300,000 years. And in fact, ketones are very special for humans in particular. Humans are the only species of primate that have baby fat. And that baby fat goes into ketones to provide our infant brains with the energy that they need because humans have this large brain. So like ketones are this fundamentally human fuel source that have been part of human evolution for at least 300,000 years.
Give me some of your background. How did you get involved in the world of ketones?
I got involved in the world of ketones by being a curious explorer in biohacking, doing things like intermittent fasting or extended fasting, done 7-day long fast and 36-hour fasts on a regular basis. I got into endurance running as well. So I'm a sub-elite marathoner and
a lot of what's make or break in a marathon is your nutrition strategy in training and in performance. I'm running 60 plus miles a week. So a lot of performance comes down to nutrition optimization. And what I saw rewinding the clock, 5 years, is that everyone was trying to get their ketones up and jumping through all these hoops. So when you're fasting, your ketones go up. Anytime your blood sugar is low, your body starts making ketones. So when you're fasting, when you're doing a ketogenic low-carb diet, when you're doing endurance sports, your ketones go up. And a lot of people like the way that it feels. They feel really dialed, or they feel runner's high. They feel really focused from ketones. And the insight that I had was, okay, why don't we make a directly ingestible, bioavailable ketone? Like, it's this brain fuel, feels really good. Why can't you go to the store and buy a shot of ketones? And that was like this kind of simple yet complex question to ask, because it took a number of years. When we came up with the initial proof of concept, we were the first ever to make a pure ketone drink at scale. We got a multi-million dollar contract with the Department of Defense Special Operations Command. They were very interested in a ketone drink for physically, cognitively demanding missions, at altitude, low oxygen environments, high stress, high strain environments, seeing how ketones can improve physical stamina, and even more importantly, mental efficiency, mental stamina. So things like target practice when you're in a fatigued state is really interesting to the special operations community. And that was great because it was the first customer. Our product was very expensive at the time. I know, Nick, that you tried it back then. It was $33 a dose. If you still have one of those, hold on to it. It's a iPhone version 1 collector's item. It was very expensive, very crazy tasting, but very effective proof of concept. And then from there, we rolled into better scale, tweaked the formulation, made it more efficacious, and then got it to a spot where we were really happy to launch it to the commercial world in 2022. And that was about 16 months ago at this point. And it's been great. We're now in grocery stores nationwide, where we have a booming direct-to-consumer business, continuing to do our work with the Department of Defense and expanding into new exciting areas around, especially brain health, ketones around Alzheimer's, traumatic brain injury. We can go into some of those areas, but ketones started out as being really interesting for performance and longevity, and we're understanding new application areas for this exciting technology too.
Yeah, I actually had it on my list of things to ask you about the brain health and specifically TBI recovery, how exogenous ketones can help with that. But that's an important distinction to make. What do you view as the primary differences between your body producing ketones when in a low blood sugar, low insulin state versus using an exogenous product?
Yeah, that's a great question, a good distinction to make, right? That your body can make ketones endogenously whenever you're low sugar. Your body has this mechanism to be able to make ketones because your brain, first and foremost, needs it. When you're low blood sugar, your body can't use fat in your brain. Fat does not cross the blood-brain barrier, but ketones do. So ketones are really this super fuel for your brain. When they're present, your brain is super greedy for ketones. It's like a sponge for ketones. And so endogenous ketosis is you are burning fat and you're turning it into ketones. Exogenous ketones, so like what we have with Ketone IQ, is a pure form of ketone that once your body digests it, it becomes the same beta hydroxybutyrate in your blood, the same ketone body in your blood. Ketones can be used by all sorts of muscle. It can be used by skeletal muscles, cardiac muscles, neurons. And again, especially neurons in the brain are really, they really prefer ketones as a fuel source. So it's the same ketone at the end of the day. The difference is it coming from your body burning fat, or is it coming from an outside source? And there's a lot in the middle as well, because you can be like doing a keto diet or fasting and then also drink Ketone IQ, and then your body is at the same time burning fat and you have added ketones on top. A lot of people find Ketone IQ to be helpful. Like what you said right before when we were chatting, it's like when you drink Ketone IQ, it has this kind of appetite control effect. A lot of people report it helps them like extend their fast. It helps people like not have as much hunger cravings. And so it can help kind of jumpstart the process into doing a low carb diet if that's what people are interested in. So they're different sources of ketones, endogenous versus exogenous. At the end of the day, it produces the same ketone molecule in your bloodstream. and has some overlapping benefits, but you know, some difference there as well.
Yeah. And they seem to complement each other nicely. If you're already producing ketones in the body, taking a little bit, maybe it's half a serving, maybe it's a full serving, maybe it's two servings in some cases, that can amplify the effects and change, make things that are usually difficult easier. You mentioned earlier beta hydroxybutyrate, BHB. What are the main different types of ketones?
Yeah. So there's, a couple others that, like, there's three ketone bodies. BHB is the main one, beta hydroxybutyrate. There's acetone and there's acetoacetate that your body basically like transfers them through these three states. But the one that is like actually used for cellular metabolism, the one that's actually turned into ATP, is BHB. So the other ones are like kind of component intermediary steps of the process that your body is like transferring it through. But like the direct one that you would want in your system is BHB. So when you're fasting, you're creating BHB. When you're doing a blood ketone test, you're testing for BHB. So you can think of the other ones as like supporting actors, or like they're parts of the overall like ketone system in your body. But if you're getting BHB, that's really like the main one. And then your body will like shift that into the other ones to keep the balance that's needed.
And to underscore what you said a minute ago, if you're following a low-carb ketogenic diet or you're fasting, this can increase the effects of that. But at the same time, there's no dietary requirement. Like, are there any downsides of, say, having a higher-carb meal and then using Ketone IQ?
That's a really good point, that we're not pushing a keto diet specifically. You don't have to do a keto diet in order to drink a Ketone IQ and get, you know, it's 10 grams of pure ketone diol, and you're going to get that on top of your fueling, whatever else you're eating, irrespective of whatever else you're eating. It's kind of like if you have 10 grams of protein powder after a meal. It's like, it kind of doesn't matter what your meal, I put an asterisk, like you don't want to have like a donut and a Coca-Cola and then have some protein powder or have some ketone IQ. Like there will be maybe some differences in how your digestive system is primed to digest it. But like generally, if you're having 10 grams of protein powder after a hamburger versus after a salad, 10 grams of protein is 10 grams of protein is 10 grams of protein. And the same with ketones. We see a lot of our elite athlete partners, our special forces partners, they stack. So the whole cool thing about ketones is they go through a different set of enzymes to turn into cellular energy. So most importantly, they're not mediated by insulin. So glucose, when you have something with carbohydrates in it, your blood glucose goes up, blood sugar, and then your body releases insulin to address that blood glucose. Ketones don't require insulin, so they don't spike insulin. They are non-insulinogenic, which, by the way, is part of what makes it such a healthy fuel source, is that like if we're slamming sugar all day and we're constantly spiking our insulin, you eventually develop insulin resistance, which is leads to type 2 diabetes, not good. So the fact that ketones are a non-insulin spiking fuel source is what's caught wind of a lot of folks in the longevity community, where it's very efficient. Like you're not creating oxidative stress, you're not spiking your insulin, but you're still getting like a nice pick me up off of it. And so ketones as a fuel go through a different pathway than glucose. And so for athletes, the reason our elite athletes will actually like to stack both is because they don't compete with each other. It's like you're a Prius. You have like gas and you have electricity and you're able to tap into both. So it really depends what the use case is, right? If you're trying to go like low carb, if you're trying to go for max, you know, reduction of metabolic stress, then people tend to go like lower carb, lower sugar, more ketones in their diet. If people are trying to go for like max athletic performance, then they'll dual fuel. I still recommend, I'm a big endurance athlete, a big marathoner. I still, when I eat stuff with carbohydrates, I try to go for lower glycemic index, so like slower carbs. So I will have carbs and ketones, but I'm still trying to avoid that like fundamental like spike of blood glucose. Like that's not good for anyone, even if you are like, you know, doing glycolytic training. Like there's no reason that you should be like slamming a lot of sugar. You can have like oatmeal or something that's fibrous that will like replete your glycogen stores over time without causing that spike, which is what you really want to avoid.
And even if you are competing at a high level and you're doing a long endurance event and you want that extra fuel to really dual fuel and have the carbohydrates on board, instead of using some of the goos and the gels, I found that honey, the data around that and the hypoglycemia that accompanies after insulin brings the blood sugar back down is much less than maltodextrin and some of the other things that you find commonly in those products.
Yeah, that's interesting how honey is kind of stood apart from other sources of sugar in the keto community or carnivore community and a paleo community, where I think the science is interesting there, where it does seem to be a better source of sugar than others. I mean, it's also got antioxidants. It's got like other characteristics from the fact that it's coming from nature. It's not just like pure maltodextrin or whatever. So yeah, we like honey.
You've already touched on a number of different benefits, from the cognition to the athletic performance. What are some of the use cases you see common with this? And also anything that you've found that is well studied that ketones support?
Yeah, a lot of where people like to use ketones is when they're in a like cognitively demanding situation. So one of the areas that we've looked at a lot with the DoD is we have our participants, operators, like doing a ruck, so wearing weight, climbing at altitude on an incline. And so it's simulated 20,000 feet of altitude and they're on an incline. So you expect some decrement in physical stamina and in cognitive efficiency just due to the hypoxic environment there, low oxygen environment. When you have ketones, you're able to significantly rescue brain function. And that's really exciting. So better cognitive efficiency on target practice. And so then that carries over into other areas where, like, if you're just at your desk at sea level, not like carrying a 20-40 pound backpack, you still are able to see that increase in cognitive efficiency just in general. When you're dealing with activities, you have a lot going on, a lot of neurons firing, you're able to just like stretch for longer. And then a lot of why we're seeing people really enjoy it in the athletic context is, again, mediated by the brain. So you're probably familiar with, and probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with, this idea of the central governor. It's this popularized in this book by Alex Hutchinson called Endure. Initially, it was created by Tim Noakes, who was actually a very early like keto diet person. This idea of the central governor, which is that usually when you bonk, usually when you hit some limit athletically, it's not your actual legs giving up on you. It's your mind no longer having enough willpower left to tell your legs to shut up and go. And what we're seeing with ketones is that because of the way that our brain really prefers ketones as a fuel source, that when you have ketones present, your brain is able to just like keep it ticking for longer and able to be like this central governor of your entire nervous system. And when your brain senses that there's more nutrient availability because there's ketones available, that you are able to prolong your effort across the rest of your body, even with all other things being equal. Even if your legs are just as fatigued, even if you're, you know, 20 miles into the race, like all other things being equal, when you have ketones present, there's more of a central governor effect on how you're able to run faster, longer at that stage. So the athletic and physical side, as well as the just like mental side, people, you know, at their desk or doing research, the unifying factor there is all around the brain and the fact that ketones are brain fuel. So that all is really interesting. That all is like pretty well established. As far as what we're looking out ahead to, it's that we recently got greenlit for a study with the Navy, the Naval Health Research Center, looking at TBI. So there's been a number of studies around TBIs, traumatic brain injury, concussions. There's been a number of studies around like ketogenic diet, MCT oil powder. MCT is a simple form of fat that easily converts into ketones. You know, now with Ketone IQ, we have a more direct bioavailable form of ketone. But there's been studies done that show, hey, when you induce your body to make its own ketones, that you can rescue brain activity after impact. And we're doubling down into that with Ketone IQ, seeing what's possible there. And that's a really exciting area. Because basically, when you have a concussion, there's damage done at the moment of impact, and then there's this swelling, there's hypometabolism of glucose that occurs afterwards. Basically, your neurons starve for 72 plus hours after the impact. And if you're able to rescue neuron metabolism with ketones, because again, they go through this other pathway, they don't require insulin, they don't require as much oxygen to turn into ATP. They offer a different substrate that can rescue some amount of energy demand in the brain after impact. So it's the same mechanism of action of like, hey, why do I feel a little bit more sharp on a run? Or why do I feel a little bit more sharp when I'm at my job? Like that same mechanism of action of how ketones work in the brain also has some promise for how ketones can maybe help with TBI and concussions and other neurological diseases and injuries.
Yeah, that was one thing that really caught my attention when I was researching TBI and concussion, because I played collegiate football and rugby, and those sports are very conducive to TBI. And I came across ketone esters back then, and they're quite expensive. But at the same time, I recognize that the brain has impaired glucose metabolism. So then you're looking into other ways of improving that and getting alternative fuels to it. Ketones came across my radar, and I didn't get the chance to try it firsthand post-concussion or give it to my friends who had concussions, but it seems like it's a really cool, novel approach, and I believe there's now research that's actually examining this.
Yeah, it's a really exciting area. I think that when you can help someone run a faster marathon or, you know, be more sharp at work, that's cool. But I think for people that have actual neurological impairment and you can return them to baseline functioning, I think there's a more urgent need and a more meaningful problem to solve inside of that. And it's interesting too, because like you can look at TBI, also looking at Alzheimer's, which is different neurological impairment, but there's also hypometabolism in the brain as Alzheimer's takes hold. And it's, again, that like you have this reduction of glucose metabolism. If you can provide another substrate, then you can potentially rescue brain energy. And that's really exciting that we can help, like, again, like not just help, you know, young, healthy people run faster marathons, but that we can make a dent in expanding health span in general. I think that's what's like really exciting to me. I think that it's all exciting. It's like, I think you're having the mission is help 8 billion people all live their best lives. But I think it's inspiring when you can help someone like get back to basics in their everyday life. And I think that there's a lot of people that can potentially affect, right? Like we all, if we're so lucky, we all become older and we all have some, you know, decrement in our physical and cognitive abilities. And if we're able to extend by 5-10 years, the health span of the average adult, like that's a massive impact on all sorts of happiness, overall just economic output. Like there's a lot of ways that moves the needle for just big global outcome.
Yeah. And the central governor theory that you were mentioning earlier is interesting because it's just one mechanism and one way that we see the body and the mind influencing each other. And there's not as much that directly influences the brain, which then influences the rest of the body. A lot of times it's like through vagus nerve signaling where you're impacting the brain indirectly, and the things that you use that increase or penetrate the blood-brain barrier and exert effects oftentimes have some significant side effects and aren't like nutritionally as needed as ketones are to like as a cleaner burning fuel than glucose.
Yeah, a lot of times it's drugs, right? It is like caffeine or stimulants or hormones that it's interesting because those tend to be very like targeted, right? Even just looking at caffeine, it's a very targeted drug that, you know, blocks adenosine, your sleep hormone, and like definitely has an effect, but it also, it's very specific. When you think about, you can think about like a hierarchy of needs in your overall body and what you need for homeostasis. And like at the top of the pyramid is like water, right? Like if you're tired and you're dehydrated at the end of the day, if you drink some water, your body's going to have a more restful sleep cycle. If it's 11 a.m. and you are tired and you're dehydrated and you drink some water, your body's going to have a better energy rise throughout the rest of the day. So like, how does this water, you know, make it better for you to sleep? And how does it make you more active during the day? Well, it's that it's just so high up the pyramid that whatever your body is doing, it requires that. So we like the things that are higher up the pyramid, right? Like protein, very high up the pyramid, where, you know, if you're a weightlifter, bodybuilder, cool, it's going to help. If you're 75 years old and you're dealing with muscle loss from old age, protein is going to help. Like anything that you're doing, like any kind of movement, we're all moving, protein helps with that. And so ketones are similarly, like they're a macronutrient, right? They contain calories. They're really interesting, right? Because you got fat, carbs, proteins is the three canonical macronutrients. And ketones are a fourth macronutrient, and they're able to help your body with all sorts of processes, from thinking to running to recovery to, like, the word that I like is considering it as an adaptive fuel. So to where whatever your body is trying to do in the moment, that ketones can help to fuel that. Versus, yeah, when you look at something like a drug, it's so much lower down on the pyramid, where like, okay, a drug, when it's engineered well, does a very specific thing really efficiently, but it's not portable to like other processes and other endpoints that you have in your body. So it's not to like say they're not helpful. Like, you know, there's a lot of amazing things in modern medicine where like very targeted drugs have the difference is, you know, we're talking about an adaptive fuel that can help on a lot of different things, versus a drug is something that's like very specifically targeted towards a really specific endpoint.
Yeah, it's an adaptive fuel and a nutrient. And even the most targeted of drugs have some downstream consequences that we may or may not know yet. So it's different than taking a nutrient which the body expects and requires to function.
Yeah, your body knows exactly what to do with it. Like, you have the DNA, like we were saying at the top of the call, like for 300,000 years, like we've been making and using ketones in our body. So like we have all of the component pieces to utilize it like all over our body.
Yeah, and it's becoming, we now have lower levels on average, I'd have to imagine, given the ubiquitous nature of food and grocery stores and late night snacks. And we no longer have the low insulin state for most of us who aren't following a low carb diet consistently and time restricted eating, that an exogenous product like this becomes much more helpful.
Yeah, it's interesting, where ancient humans had higher ketone levels. It just, we did not have the context where there was wide availability of processed carbohydrates. Like, everything you see in a convenience store is generally not good for you. You've heard that advice, I'm sure, like at the grocery store, like just stick to the perimeter. Like, all the stuff in the middle is just, what is a lucky charm exactly? Like, why am I eating this? Like, what is in these bottles of mayonnaise? Like, what is this stuff? The stuff on the perimeter is real food. And generally, the cheap mass-produced stuff is processed carbohydrates, and that just isn't great for you. It spikes your blood sugar. It interferes with a lot of hormones, and it didn't exist in an evolutionary context. And so evolutionarily, like, I don't think that ancient humans were like strict keto. I think probably paleo is pretty close to what, there's no Skittles on the savanna, right? Like, there was no abundance of processed carbohydrates. There's probably, you know, some grains and some berries. So there was some carbohydrates in the context, but it was a small amount, and it just wasn't this highly processed stuff. And so ancient humans moving around a lot more, right? Like endurance hunting, moving around 6, 7, 8 miles a day, not having a ton of carbs to begin with. So like going in and out of ketosis on a ongoing basis for sure. And I think people should get back to that way of being through everything. Like, I don't think just drinking ketone IQ is this like panacea if you have an unhealthy lifestyle otherwise. I think we all need to move around more. I think we need to eat less processed sugar. And I think of ketone IQ as like a tool in the toolkit. And it's cool because it's this like modern take on this ancient fuel source. So it's like, I think we could do a lot to learn from the patterns of what generations have used before us, for sure.
I want to hear more about what you're doing with the DOD and the grant you got, the $6 million grant. Before we do, you've mentioned caffeine, and every quarter I will do a week or two break from caffeine and any form of stimulants just to let my adenosine receptors reset. And so that when I come back, I actually feel everything I ingest. Would ketones, using an exogenous ketone supplement, help the process of weaning off caffeine.
Yeah, that's something that actually my co-founder is doing this right now, is weaning off of caffeine, doing a just ritual like decaffeinization, which I highly recommend. Yeah, I think it's really good to reset. I think it's incredible like how much sensitivity you can regain. Like I'm sure after your 2 weeks, right? Like you have a cup of coffee and you just feel,
oh man,
you feel it all the way again. So I think it's really smart that you're doing that. I definitely recommend it. And yeah, my co-founder Jeff's in a process of it right now. Ketone IQ helps a lot with that because like it's not like a one-to-one. It's not like doing exactly what caffeine does, but as far as keeping you alert and clear-headed, caffeine does have this like super, in a way it's very like rough, like it's very jarring to the system. It makes you like hyper alert. It like quickens your heart rate, releases adrenaline. Like it's a very like, it's very much a stimulant. It's very much an upper. Ketone IQ doesn't do quite that. However, it provides this like clarity and awakeness. It feels like you got up from like a fresh nap. So I don't think it's like a one-to-one replacement, but it is one of those things that can help. A lot of people use it also on the topic of caffeine replacement. A lot of people use it for like as instead of their second coffee of the day, especially because like you have a coffee in the morning. A lot of people I know like don't want to have caffeine after noon. Like I don't, I personally have one cup of coffee a day unless I'm doing a caffeine fast, like what you're saying. The other thing, just kind of fun, like we don't sell any product here, but like the other one that people I hear talking about when they're weaning off of caffeine is nicotine, like nicotine lozenges or gum. Again, not exactly the same as caffeine, but like, have you experienced that? Like, it's like, it can be a little bit of an upper and it's just a different pathway from caffeine.
Yeah. I use nicotine on occasion. I'm actually looking for nicotine patches that are much lower dose because right now the lowest I can find is 7 milligrams, which is a hefty dose for a non-user. So I'm looking into like if I can cut them in half or a quarter because then you get a nice slow bleed of nicotine into the system. And as one of my neuroscience professors says, that's the most underrated study drug and nootropic out there. So if I can find a low dose nicotine patch that slowly delivers nicotine without any of the other crap, I will be very excited.
I love it. Yeah, there's a product idea right there. Yeah, if you're not coming off of like hardcore smoking nicotine addict, which is mainly where those are addressed to, I think that's a clever idea. Like 7 is a lot if you're not used to, if you're not an actual like recovering smoker.
One thing I was wondering about, and I haven't heard anyone else talk about, but I did it this morning, and that is to combine ketones with nootropics. I find that I'm guessing like caffeine, adding ketones to it, make it like rocket fuel, becomes way stronger. And at the same time, it becomes smoother and clearer than I expected. I use a company called Nootopia this morning and their Nectar X product. And I'm blown away how much stronger it feels, but in a good way, after combining it with so far only half of a dose of Ketone IQ.
Yeah, it's cool how they stack, right? Because these nootropics like Nootopia, I haven't seen them in, I haven't personally used it, but just looking at their ingredients, good stack there. And in general, nootropics increase brain activity, right? Like they're triggering some firing of neurons in a pattern that wouldn't otherwise happen if you didn't have the nootropic. It's creating an increase in brain activity, which creates an increase in brain energy demand. And like, where is that energy coming from? And that's where ketones are really interesting as a stack on top of it, where we don't really consider it a nootropic, but it works really well with nootropics because whether you're having the stack that you're having, or you know, microdosing with psilocybin or having caffeine or whatnot, that you're creating some increase in brain activity. But again, like most nootropics are acaloric. They don't have calories inside of them. So it's like you're pulling the cord on your lawnmower, like you're revving it up, but like you still need the actual gas. You still need energy to come from somewhere. And that's why, you know, Starbucks will have like 45 grams of sugar in their coffee because like, yeah, you're getting stimmed up from caffeine. And then, okay, we're also going to load you with, for the fuel, we're going to load you up with sugar. I think that's a less good stack. I mean, you're obviously familiar with, and a lot of people are with like bulletproof coffee, right? Where you have caffeine and then inside of the coffee, there's also butter or MCT. MCT being medium chain triglyceride, simple form of fat that your body can relatively easily turn into ketones. Reason Bulletproof Coffee was so successful is that same 1-2 punch of, okay, you have like this nootropic effect from the caffeine, and maybe there's other nootropics inside of there, and then you have the actual fuel from the MCT. What we've done is just innovated on top of that, which is, okay, Bulletproof was cool. Now with Ketone IQ, you just have a pure ketone dial, and that's able to provide you just direct ketones way more efficiently than MCT could, which requires like some conversion and some lossiness in order to turn into ketones. So it's a nice stack there in general. I say, like, you know, a lot of times when people go on like deeper plant medicine journeys, they try to fast and purge their system, get into like a fasted ketotic state, so their brain is mainly fueling on ketones. And so I would say, yeah, ketones are really nice as a like kind of multiplier on top of any kind of psychoactive or nootropic type of compound that you're playing around with.
I haven't shared this before, but I actually make what I call an upgraded version of Bulletproof Coffee. And that is, I'll use a clean organic C8 MCT oil. And then I will combine that with, instead of butter, I'll use cacao butter, which is a really rich source of stearic acid. And stearic acid is hard to find in the diet, but it has all kinds of other incredible health benefits that I don't remember off the top of my head. But I know there's a diet called, I think it's the croissant diet, where the author talks all about how this one magical compound, stearic acid, is the reason that he was able to lose so much weight and have all these other health transforming effects. And cacao butter is the richest source. Plus, it tastes great.
Yeah, see, that's interesting. I think that what you're saying there with your like special stack, I feel like that's actually a really interesting insight, where like I bet a lot of people listening in have their own stack. It's an interesting like moment in the day of like your witch's brew or whatever you want to call it, like of what have you put into that blender bottle that works for you. Like, oh, I like, you know, I like reishi mushrooms, or I like a little bit of Neupept, or I like people I think are innovating around that. I think it's a really interesting like entry point into people's lives. And I think about that a lot with Ketone IQ. Like, I think we're doing our job if we were like part of people's like witch's brew.
Well, since you brought up witch's brews, I have to know now, what is in your witch's brew that you do in the morning for your health performance and bioharmony?
Yeah, so I've been experimenting with a few different ones for now. So I generally like what's inside of Athletic Greens. I think they have a good just like starter stack. I think there's some modifications you can make off that, but I think that's a good start. I've been adding, I like lemon water. I think lemon good to get the metabolism going. I think there's some interesting effects it has on blood pH as well. Even though counterintuitive, lemon has acid in it, the way it's digested, it makes your blood a little bit more basic. I've been liking creatine also, not as like a major bodybuilder, not for like athletic performance, but actually like the brain effects of creatine are super interesting. I think creatine is having like a second wind revival as a like brain boost, that the way that it helps your muscles, I think, is well understood, like the as a pre-workout effect, but that similarly in your brain it helps you to feel more sharp. So I like that. I will have Ketone IQ, of course, and then I stack in, it's just like real foods, right? I'll put like spinach, almonds, whole milk. I'll put this all together into a blender. I actually have my witch's brew right here. Like, I'll blend it all up first thing in the morning and sip on it. And I usually actually take my Ketone IQ as a like side shot, and then I'll have omega-3s as well. I have like omega-3 and D vitamin stack. I think those are two of the most well-researched supplements out there for just like brain health and mood. I try to get sunlight as well every day, but like just in case, I'll have a vitamin D supplement. Omega-3, really good for brain and body health. I'm definitely curious about different types of mushrooms that there are out there, and like in small amounts, like microdoses, to see what's possible. I do think that, I don't know, I just probably personally, subjectively, have been enjoying different, like, I don't know, just playing around with mud water and some other things in that space and microdosing around and seeing what works for cognitive effect. And with some of those I try to like not do every single day, because it's like kind of what you're saying, what we were saying earlier with caffeine, but in like a even smaller time window of like one day on, one day off, or 2 days on, one day off, so as not to like blunt the overall effect.
It's funny you mentioned creatine as a nootropic. That was actually one of the very first articles I ever wrote years ago, was on creatine, but not for sports performance, but as a nootropic cognitive enhancer.
Oh man, I love that.
Yeah. And then what form of, you said omega-3, you're taking that in some form. Are you taking it in fish oil, krill oil, plant-based, like algae-based?
I have been taking it fish-based. Within omega-3s, there's DHA and EPA, and like the DHA form especially is good for brain health. I haven't been really opinionated about like where it comes from. Like, I know that this form is like fish. I haven't been really opinionated on like, does it need to come from fish versus krill versus algae? I'm curious, you have any thoughts? I mainly have looked at like the molecular makeup of it, of like, hey, does the DHA to EPA ratio, like, is that legitimate? And is it like verifiably pure? Did you have thoughts on like sourcing there?
That whole world is so confusing. I've heard like the scientists in the space say that it really doesn't matter. I've also heard that there's a bunch of different forms of fish oil, and there's the ethyl ester form, there's the triglyceride form, there's phospholipid fish oil, and they all absorb differently. I like the triglyceride form and the phospholipid, and you get phospholipids in krill oil, and you also get astaxanthin in small amounts, which stabilize the fish oil. So I'm not sure if it's as essential. You also see lower amounts of EPA and DHA on the labels, but since it's in a phospholipid form, I'm not sure if you actually absorb any less than you would if the dose was 3 times higher on a typical fish oil. But so,
oh, nice.
As long as you're getting some form, I don't think it matters all that much.
But your advice would be to go for the phospholipid form.
Yeah, I like krill oil. I recently started using a different product. I'm not even sure what form it's in, but krill oil is a decent one. You also can get some astaxanthin, which has its own benefits. And speaking of, I know with nootropics, a lot of times fats can increase the absorption and enhance the effects. Are there any cofactors or signaling molecules or anything that you like to take alongside Ketone IQ to boost either the physical or mental or performance on both fronts?
I would say nothing outside of what I've mentioned, just as far as like a few of the, what I mentioned, it like has mental effects. And I think that's what's really interesting to me, is like, I think about it as, okay, what's going to like stimulate brain activity for me, and then anything there, like I will stack Ketone IQ on top of. So I like a little bit of caffeine. I like experimenting with different types of functional mushrooms. To me, it's about like what is going to really get me into like that mental flow state where I feel like fresh and I'm not crashing, and you know, words are coming really easily to me. And so I'm always thinking about it from like very specifically mental brain lens, like what can I stack there that's going to make me feel alert throughout the day.
One thing I was thinking of just now during our conversation is if ketones have a muscle sparing or other hormonal effects, do they impact the hormonal system at all?
Yeah, so they have a couple of interesting effects on the muscles, right? They have a glycogen sparing effect. So glycogen is stored glucose. So when you're exercising, your body's mainly burning glycogen, using that for energy. When you have ketones present, you spare that glycogen. So that's part of why it helps with the endurance effect, in addition to all the central governor stuff we're talking about. They also help with muscle protein resynthesis. So after a workout, if you have ketones in your system, then it helps you to rebuild that muscle more quickly, so you can like, you know, recover and do it again the next day. And we have something interesting on, it seems like they're able to increase EPO.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like there's some interesting study that came out like late last year that aside from being fuels, they're able to increase aerobic capacity via EPO related effects. So it's not EPO, like it's not generally you can't take direct EPO if you're a competitive athlete, but is interesting to see that there are like potential EPO related effects from ketones. And I know that's why like a lot of cyclists, a lot of like Tour de France riders are really into it, and like endurance community is really into ketones as well for that reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, for anyone listening in who doesn't know what EPO is, that is what Lance Armstrong got in trouble for years ago. Michael, I'm interested to hear more about your partnership with the U.S. DoD Special Operations Command and some of the research that you guys are undertaking on ketones over there at HVMN.
Yeah, with the DoD, we got this contract in 2019 for $6 million to research 7 different subtasks around exogenous ketones in different contexts. And it's been really exciting. It's been a highlight of my career to work with some of these incredible people, like just some absolutely incredible humans, some really just like admirable, tough people that are you know, defending the country and being able to like visit and be able to be part of helping folks be, you know, healthier and better performing. So there's these 7 different subtasks. They relate to, you know, some are more like basic science, like looking at under the microscope, what does it do? And versus some are more out in the field, like, okay, how does this work when you have like moving parts and you're in, you know, something more quote unquote ecological, like a more realistic type of environment. So one of the areas in particular that is interesting for Special Operations Command is hypoxia, so low oxygen environments, because that happens when you're at altitude. It can also happen when you're in airplane or spaceship. It can happen when you're underwater. So there's many contexts where you can be hypoxic. You also can be hypoxic at the end of a large effort. So like at the end of a marathon, when you're like, when you've been respirating heavily and you've maybe not been getting quite enough oxygen, you become hypoxic. So like hypoxia, it happens at altitude right away, but it can also happen into these other circumstances. And we showed that there's a drug called Dynamox, which is the standard of care for when you have altitude sickness. And basically what it does is it makes you really sleepy. It like cures altitude sickness. You're not like vomiting and dizzy, but you kind of just get tired. So it like solves one problem with like a less good problem. It's still not awesome for a operator context. And ketones outperform that. So that's already interesting. That like, okay, we've leapfrogged the standard of care there. And that's interesting. So that's all wrapping up like very soon here. That contract is several years long and it's winding up to the end. But what's always promising and exciting to see is like when you wind up a research project, there's always like 5 new questions that you have out of it. And so we're now chasing down some of those. So, but one of the areas that we're expanding into is with the Navy Health Research Center, looking at TBI and concussions. So basically like extending on, hey, why do we think that this works in these contexts for performance? Okay, if it works in that context for performance, if it's, you know, brain fuel that's helping when you're in a low oxygen state, what about if you're in a low metabolism state after a concussion? Can ketones help there? Oh, what about this other research that showed that ketogenic diet was helpful there? So like just piecing together. And then also there's the idea of just like veteran care. Like when people leave the services, a lot of times, you know, if you had TBI, it's harder to think clearly. It's harder to re-enter the workforce. That makes it less appealing for people to go into that line of work to begin with. So if we can help improve quality of life for people coming out of the special forces or armed forces in general, that's really interesting. And then that starts having interesting applications into like football, what you were saying earlier, like football, rugby, like getting some dings on the head.
Yeah. And I think TBIs, obviously, they're a major topic and concern among the military and among athletes. But even in the general population, they're way more common than most people realize. And then on the other side, you mentioned hypoxia several times in this conversation. And I recently watched a program on TV about these climbers doing insane climbs, 28,000 feet. And of course, hypoxia is a major issue for them because they're ice climbing. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if they're even taking like a supplement stack to help the offset some of the hypoxic effects. Because there's certain adaptogens. I think rhodiola is one of them. and ketones are one they could use. It'd be interesting to see the performance change or like the safety change of pre and post designing a smart supplement stack.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, we'd love to talk to any rock climbers, advanced mountaineers that you know. I think it's a really exciting participant group. And I think that, yeah, if you can improve quality of decision making, like a lot of times it's life and death for those guys. So yeah, we'd love to talk to those guys. Those are the kinds of missions that we are working on with special forces. Like maybe it's not, you know, just for funsies, like climbing a mountain at 28,000 feet, but it is like, you know, being able to operate with efficiency at that kind of altitude. So definitely keen to connect. If anyone listening in is a high altitude mountaineer, like let's talk. Or if you know folks, Nick, happy to chat.
Are there any other extreme conditions in which ketones can help? I mean, we've already covered endurance, the long bouts of sustained physical activity and extreme altitudes. Anything else?
Yeah, we're actually kicking something off with the European Space Agency, because when you're in space, you're exposed to radiation. You get more solar radiation, just general like galactic cosmic radiation. You have less atmosphere to protect you, and ketones create less oxidative stress in general. So radiation creates oxidative stress. So to like counteract that, if you have ketones for fuel, you're creating less oxidative stress from the process of metabolism and of those ketones. So it's an interesting way to address that. That's probably the most out there one that like, hey, as we're going to Mars, you should be having like as low oxidative stress diet as possible. It also carries over to a degree with just like regular air travel. When you are at altitude, you are exposed to more radiation. And so I know a lot of people who just, you know, fast while flying, don't eat while flying, drink ketone IQ while flying. It seems like for whatever reason, a lot of people, I mean, I think the dots connect here. Like a lot of people tell me like they really like ketone IQ when they're flying in particular. And I think it connects to everything that we're saying here. It's not known exactly why do you always feel kind of gross after a flight, like you don't feel awesome. But it seems like ketone IQ helps a lot of people when they're doing air travel.
That's actually the most consistent way I've used ketone products over the years, is I'll take some before I go, along with selective antioxidants like molecular hydrogen and other things to buffer some of the free radicals, the reactive oxygen species, glutathione, like that kind of thing. And I find that I adapt to the new locale, the time zone, and just bounce back from flying much faster when I do that. And since you're also going through the millimeter wave and you're very high altitude in the plane and everything, it seems like it's just one of those things that makes sense. And if you're going to be getting back a day of recovery from your vacation by doing a couple things right, to me, it's a no-brainer.
I love it. Yeah, I think it's a good way to think about the what you're putting your body through when you fly is non-trivial. I think it feels like you're just kind of walking to the mall and you're sitting on a tube and then you're landing. It's like you're actually going through a lot. And I like what you're saying, like deliberately having a day to like de-stress, detoxify from what you just experienced is a good idea.
Well, Michael, are there any other topics that we haven't covered today that you think would be good to get in now?
Yeah, I think we covered a lot of ground, and I hope this was illuminating for a lot of people. Love to hear questions that people have. Happy to engage with people on Twitter, Instagram, whatnot. Love hearing from people.
And I'll put a link to all of the resources we discussed, including Ketone IQ and HVMN, in the show notes below. And I have these shots. I used to have a big jar, not a jar, a big container of like 10 servings, but I believe you're now available in some local grocers around the country.
Yeah, we launched recently nationwide with Sprouts, and you can find us in Sprouts in the refrigerated functional wellness shots section. And yeah, we're continuing to expand. And if people have own retailers or gyms that could be a good fit for this, happy to chat. And or if you live near one, like, yeah, go pick us up. Sprouts is the biggest account that we're in right now. A lot more coming very soon. Can't announce just yet. And then you can also find us on hvmn.com and Amazon as well.
And can people just pick up a single shot if they want to try it out once?
Yes. So in stores, you can pick up a shot. Actually, the first shot is on us. If you see us in stores, just scan the QR code. There should be a QR code right next to the bottle, or there's one printed, in fact, on every bottle. If you scan it, you'll see a very simple set of instructions. First shot is free on us in stores. Wow. And yeah, that one is in-store only. The economics don't quite make sense for us to do that through the mail, unfortunately. But anytime you see us in-store, the first shot is free on us.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, enjoy. I mean, it's us just putting our money where our mouth is. We think people will get a kick out of it, and we're willing to cover the first shot.
And I believe we also arranged for the code URBAN. If people use that, then they can save on their order if they go through hvmn.com.
Yeah, check that out. I think sharing over the link here, and let's drop that in the bio.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Michael, I have a couple more questions for you before we sign off today.
Cool.
The first one is, if there was a burning of the books and all knowledge on earth was lost, you got to save the works of three teachers. Who would you choose and why?
So I loved Sapiens, the book by Yuval Harari. I thought that was just such a good distillation of, you know, where we're at and how we got here. I just recommend that for everyone to check out. Another book I like a lot, just one of the ones I find myself referring back to like years and years after reading it, is Born to Run. It's just a really good anthropology of how running has been part of our existence for so long. You know, humans uniquely can go further than any other species in endurance. So if you put a human next to a horse for 24 hours, human can cover more distance. The horse needs to stop more. Human can just go the whole time, just drink water along the way. Because of the way that our physical body is built, because of the way that we interact with the world around us, like with nutrition, like we can sweat, we can drink, we can carry water. We're bipeds, like because of the way the human body is, like we're able to go further. And so endurance hunting has been an advantage humans have always had. Born to Run, awesome book. Find myself turning that one quite often.
I'd push back on that a little bit and say that humans are born to walk and to run occasionally.
That's probably fair. It's like, because inside of that book, they talk about like, yeah, it's like a slow jog, maybe. It's like, I don't know if we're supposed to be running 6 minute miles all the time, but I think like a 10, 12 minute mile, like, yeah, something that's like not super impactful. I think that's a good clarification. So I love Principles by Ray Dalio. That's more getting into like business. I don't know if any of these are going to let us like reinvent the wheel or like reinvent the HTTP protocol stack, whatever. But, as far as just like three of my favorite books that I think back to often, I really like Principles by Ray Dalio. He's a prolific investor, and I really like the way that he has broken down his system of thought into pieces. And he's very just like aware, hey, you have biases, construct your world around you so that you're surrounded with people who counteract your biases and call you out. He talks a lot about like deferring to the person on any given matter with the most believability. So it's something I do a lot as a CEO. Like, I feel like my main job as a CEO is not to decide things, but to decide who should decide things. And yeah. Like, okay, well, we have a research lead who has a PhD in ketone metabolism from Oxford, or we have a product lead who has a master's degree in chemical engineering. Like, I'm generally not like out ranking them on decisions on what they're doing. It's more like, okay, who do we pass the ball to? Like, who is the subject matter expert on this? Let's make sure that that person has the loudest voice in the room. So Principles by Ray Dalio has a lot of like, just, I would say just like good rules. And I think he's pretty good on like the meta point, which is like, these are my rules. I suggest you have your own set of rules. Feel free to, you know, inherit the rules that I've put down here, but also like more importantly, make a set of rules that works for you.
Yeah. Well, I've got two more rapid fire questions for you. The very first is, outside of ketones, what is one topic that you're either researching or interested in?
Barefoot running, barefoot living in general, barefoot lifting.
Nice.
Barefoot, your foot is this incredible machine, and you know, 20,000 nerve endings in each foot. It's like your hand. It's completely incredible machine, and we wrap it up all day inside of shoes. And I'm just a massive fan of spending more time barefoot, or if you're wearing shoes, wear more like barefoot mimicking style of shoes. Try to spend time at the gym lifting, or if you run, like doing it in barefoot or minimal shoes, at least some of the time. You just get a lot better ground feel, proprioception, a lot better chain of motion up your entire kinetic chain because of the way that your foot is feeling the ground. A lot of times when you have like weak arches, it's like they try to sell you a shoe with like more arch support, which is like correct in a way, but in a way it's completely incorrect. It's like you should, like if you spend more time walking around barefoot, that'll be painful, but like you'll strengthen your arches over time. Obviously there's some delicacy to it. Like if you need arch support, maybe you do need it, but like try to spend, you know, 5 minutes a day barefoot, 15 minutes a day barefoot, like work on the muscles instead of just crutching them all the time.
Yeah. I was the king of max arch support for a long time. Didn't realize that my shin splints and other things I was suffering with were actually a result of too much arch support. And these days I spend the vast majority of my time barefoot or in minimalist shoes. And usually when I'm even lifting, I'll do that barefoot.
Nice. So preaching the choir there. Yeah. That's
yeah, awesome. Yeah, exactly. And then finally, what is one thing that the HVMN tribe does not know about you?
I think like this special relationship I have with my daughter. She's a year and a half old, and it's a very fun, and it's hard to even explain, which is maybe why it's like, it's not like I'm trying to keep it a secret from people. It's just like hard to explain. I think that there's so much, I think people who have kids probably understand in general, but like the magical bond you see with someone kind of like experiencing life the way that you kind of remember that you did when you were that little, like just the lights are starting to come on. They're starting to figure things out. And then there's something very pure to like, they're just taking in raw source and they're experiencing it. And you're kind of providing them with the map of like how to interpret the world. What constructs should they have? What's safe? What's not safe? What's good? What's not good? And then just realizing that all that stuff is stuff that you learned, and like you might be right or wrong. You might have higher risk tolerance or lower risk tolerance, or like you're just giving them some map, which like maybe kind of works for you. But I think there's something very pure to being around a being that has very little construct or preconceived notion around about what's going on in the world. It's made me very reflective of like what constructs do I choose to like continue to carry forward.
Yeah, before culture and society has molded them. And when she is speaking, I'm sure she'll say a bunch of things that challenge your beliefs and hopefully cause you to go inward and determine where those perspectives are coming from, and better yet, to entertain the idea that maybe they have a better, more efficient, different way.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, Michael, any takeaways, any recaps you'd like to leave the audience with today?
I thought this was great. I thought we had a couple of just really good nuggets inside of there. At least just the idea of like when you're air traveling, to really see it as a activity and like make sure you decamp properly from it, like prepare for it. Think about your nutrition. Think about what you're doing afterwards. Like exercising, is that hitting a sauna? Like, what are you having to mitigate any of the stress from air travel? I think that's a really good one. Just really think about that as a moment in your life to manage around, and that you can manage around it. I like the idea that we had around like the witch's brew, like being really thoughtful around like what is in your functional beverage at the beginning of the day, not being afraid to experiment. Look at that as just like a work in progress that you're always iterating on, that there exists some ideal combination of ingredients that you could have first in the day that like gives you the best possible day over a long run. And it's totally worthwhile to keep iterating on that until you really get it right, and can, you know, keep iterating from there as well. Don't be afraid to try new things.
Perfect. Well, it has been a pleasure hosting you today. Thanks for joining me and spending some time on the MindBody Peak Performance Podcast.
Nick, this is awesome. Thanks so much for having me on, and appreciate the amazing platform you built, and appreciate everyone listening in here today. It's a lot of fun.
Until next time, I'm Nick Urban here with Michael Brandt of MindBody Peak Performance, signing out. Have a great week and be an outlier.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.